Sure, we're gonna record you whenever.
Oh, don't do that.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Richard Pashinsky. I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic. I was asked by Matthew, who I don't see here, to come give a little talk here. He said I should speak on God as we understood Him. And so it's a little different than my usual kind of dog and pony show that I do up here, but it's always an honor and privilege to speak to any AA-related group or Nicky Poo or Winnie the Pooh or whatever the hell it is. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, that's really what we are. But it really is. I'm happy to be here. It's an early morning getting started, getting down here. But it looks like y'all have a lot of fun. Masquerade party tonight. Sounds fun. And it's the young people's group, which it amazes me. I'll be 50 next year that I'm still speaking at young people's groups. So anyways, here we are. I have a sobriety date. It's January 16th, 1990. And before I get into the topic I've asked to talk about, I think it's probably worth clarifying a bit that I am an alcoholic. And I have alcoholism, and alcoholism is a disease. And you know, I get asked from time to time, what is alcoholism? And my current understanding, as concise as I can put it, is that alcoholism is a primary, chronic, progressive, potentially fatal disease. And I'm going to clarify that before I go into the topic at hand. By a primary disease, I mean a disease that arises spontaneously and is not caused by previous disease, injury, or event. So it's primary. So, you know, a lot of speakers come up these days and they get up and they talk about their childhood and how bad their parents were or a bad thing that happened, and then they became alcoholic. But it's not causal because alcoholism arises de novo. It's a primary event. The only thing their parents did really to contribute was the genetic predisposition that they got from it. So it's primary disease. And it's a chronic disease, meaning long-lasting or recurrent. We know that in the untreated state, that's what it is. It's progressive. Now, progressive disease in the medical community is often thought of in the terms of withdrawal and tolerance. But that's not really what we talk about here, withdrawal and tolerance. It's progressive as mind, body, and spirit. See, when I stop drinking and have good reasons to stay stopped, like neon lights, do not drink, bad idea, bad things have happened. What happens is that I go back to it because of the obsession of the mind, the greater aspect of the disease. And then when I start drinking, I at times cannot regulate or modulate how much I will drink because of the allergy of the body, the physical phenomenon of craving. And when I have the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, the end product is spiritual malady. So progressive, mind, body, and spirit. And it's certainly potentially fatal disease. A huge cost of life through the centuries, whether it be an acute intoxication, trauma, cardiovascular disease, seizures, hepatitis, pancreatitis, cancer, alcoholic dementia, or suicide, potentially fatal. If you've been in this program for any length of time, you've known people that have been in these rooms and then died as a direct result of this disease. But on a personal level, I really need not worry about the potentially fatal aspect of the disease because I have a way out. I have a solution. See, now we know what the problem is. Allergy to the body, obsession of the mind, spiritual malady. And we know what the solution is, page 27, vital spiritual experience. And we know how to get from the problem to the solution, spiritual program of action, the steps, the program of recovery. So within that program of recovery, one part of the program of recovery, and all the parts are necessary, all 12 steps and all parts of all 12 steps. But within that program of recovery, which is required, which is vital to get from problem to solution, to get from allergy, body, obsession, mind, spiritual malady to vital spiritual experience, recovered alcoholic, is this program of action, the spiritual program of action, the steps. And within the steps, this is where we're at. This is the topic. God as we understood him. So why is God as we understood him particularly important? Well, it's important because it's in the book. Okay? And if it's in the book, it's important. And it's in the steps, so it must be really important. Step 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to prove our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. So, in the book, in chapter 4, we agnostics, page 47, talks about your own conception of God. Important. Page 63, just before the third step prayer, says, many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, then third step prayer. You know, but where does this come from? Historically, where does it come from? God as we understood him. Well, this isn't the origination of where it came from, but let's start November 1934. So, 34, November, Ebbie Thatcher, Bill Wilson's sponsor, was in Bill's kitchen doing what we call a 12 step. So he said, I've got religion. Okay. Not my approach when I do a 12 step approach. But Bill went, whoa, you know? Shit. Heard this before. But then he followed up with, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Well, that works now, see? I'm in. Prior to Ebbie, Roland Hazard, a well-to-do drunk alcoholic, had the disease of alcoholism, went, searched far and wide to find help. He ended up in Switzerland in 1931 with Dr. Jung. And over a long period of time, year or so, he learned a truth that is rather remarkable. He learned what the solution was. Now, he didn't know what the problem was, and he didn't know the spiritual program of action. He didn't know what the problem was. He didn't know how to get from the problem he didn't know about to the solution, but he learned what the solution was. He learned that he needed a vital spiritual experience to recover from alcoholism. That's what he learned. So Roland, well-to-do, came back to New York. He became active in the Calvary Episcopal Church, the Oxford Groups. And in August of 34, Roland found a poor soul to help. He found Ebbie. Ebbie had crashed into a kitchen of this lady with his car, and the lady was drinking coffee, and Ebbie said, I'm home, you know? And so that's what we do. We do that stuff. And Ebbie found himself in a particular jam, and Roland, well-to-do dude, helped him out. Went to the judge, worked a deal, had Ebbie released to Roland. Roland took care of Ebbie. Ebbie got involved in Calvary and Oxford groups. Ebbie decided to carry the message to his old buddy Bill. So, there we go. We're back to Ebbie in the kitchen with Bill W. November 1934. At this point, Bill gets some interest in this, and Bill gets involved in the Oxford groups. And now Bill's really got it all. He's got all the pieces of the puzzle. He knows the solution, Ebbie, Roland, Jung. He got it from you. Vital spiritual experience, solution. He knows Silkworth. Silkworth, doctor's opinion, you know. Big book. He knew the problem, allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. And then in the Oxford groups, they had some tenets that are not the same, but he had a spiritual program of action. So he had problem, spiritual program of action, solution. He had it all. He entered Towns Hospital for the last time December 11th, 1934, and 2 days later had the vital spiritual experience, 12/13/34. So what's special about Calvary and Oxford? There's a guy, Reverend Sam Shoemaker. He was their leader. Bill spent much time with Reverend Shoemaker. He calls him and did call him on many AA talks and literature that Bill wrote through the grapevine, etc. He referred to Reverend Shoemaker as his spiritual advisor. So he carries some weight, at least historically, with AA. Throughout Bill's sobriety, he sang Shoemaker's praises, even called him a co-founder of AA. Sam wrote many Oxford Group books, articles, and pamphlets, even wrote articles in the grapevine. He had many talks with Bill during the writing of the Big Book. Bill Wilson asked Sam to write the steps. He declined. Felt an alcoholic was more suited to write the steps, specifically Bill Wilson, and he did. But what I found that Shoemaker wrote and talked of, which is, I think, quite pertinent to the topic, is this is what he wrote. I'll read, though. Shoemaker said, and this is as it relates to God as we understood him. Shoemaker said, surrender as much of yourself as you can to as much of God as you understand. You simply start where you are in your understanding. Then God will come through to you, make himself known, and enable you to understand more. You will come to believe. You will find God. God will make himself known as our creator. So see, he wasn't talking about God as you understand him be a doorknob. He was just saying, take whatever understanding you have now, turn as much of yourself as you can into what you understand, and then he will be revealed, or she. Sam's words and phrases have been incorporated verbatim into the Big Book, Bill's talks and writings. So Bill was at Towns Hospital there. With Ebby's instructions, Bill's understanding through the Oxford and through Silkworth, he was able to humbly offer himself to God as I then understood him. That's page 13, Big Book. So that was his beginning. Page 53 says, when we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade, we had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? That was published in 39. Shoemaker, in Confident Faith, published in 32, said, God is or he isn't. You leap one way or the other. Bob Dylan, in 79, though, said that you either have faith or you have disbelief, and there ain't no neutral ground. I like Dylan's the best. Bill's pretty good, too. Okay, so Bill learned through Oxford the five C's that you maybe heard about when you read your AA history. Confidence, confession, conviction, conversion, continuance, with the four absolutes, honesty, unselfishness, purity, love. In a 1960s talk, AA convention, Bill Wilson said, early AA got its ideas of self-examination, acknowledgement of character defects, restitution for harm done, and working with others straight from the Oxford Group and directly from Sam Shoemaker, their former leader in America, and from nowhere else. A little bit about Bob, Dr. Bob, the proctologist, Dr. Bob. It's a great profession, by the way. Bill Wilson had referred to himself as a conservative atheist agnostic, said he knew nothing about the Bible until working with Dr. Bob and Ann in the summer of 35. I think it was a bit of an exaggeration. He certainly did know a fair bit, but I think he just wanted to make a point that he learned a great deal in his spiritual growth from Dr. Bob, his senior. Dr. Bob had a more biblical approach. The parts he found absolutely essential were the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 7, 1 Corinthians 13, which is love, and the book of James. And before they actually called themselves, in Akron there, Alcoholics Anonymous, called themselves the James Club. And within James, it does say faith without works is dead. Dr. Bob would commonly say in meetings, what does it say in the good book? Dr. Bob and Bill W. often said that the Sermon on the Mount contained the underlying spiritual philosophy of AA. It does have the Lord's Prayer. Many of us end most of our meetings with the Lord's Prayer. It does say, thy will be done. So, God as I understood him. So it's really kind of more God as I understand him or do not understand him. My understanding is not absolutely essential. It's not required, and it's not even really possible for any of us to fully understand the greatness of God. It's just start. Start somewhere and get working. Many of my talks, I talk about dogs and auto mechanics because dogs see, you could have a really good dog, a really smart dog, and you could have a great teacher, but no dog is ever going to really grasp auto mechanics. And we're kind of like the dog, you know, because we just don't have the mental capability to grasp the greatness, the bigness, the smallness, the everything of God. Can't do it. So why get stuck in steps 1, 2, and 3 worrying about if I understand God enough to move on to sit down with a piece of paper and write an inventory? Because I have sponsored numerous people that can't get to 4 because they figure they haven't got the God thing down. And none of us have the God thing down. I don't have the God thing down. But I've always got a place to start. It's right where I'm at. And move on. Page 46 says, our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect contact with him. Then says, God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. Along this thought, page 25 says, the central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my Creator has entered into my heart and life in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for me which I could never do myself. Now, appendix 2, page 570, at least in the third edition, 570, says, that's the essence of spiritual experience. The essence of a spiritual experience is awareness of a power greater than ourselves. That's what they're talking about in the book when they talk about conscious contact with God. The right here, right now. Hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Broad highway, sixth sense, catapulted, rocketed into a fourth dimension, and reborn. If I go to page 46 and read, it says, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction. Provided we took other simple steps, we found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. When therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies also to other spiritual expressions which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to effect our first conscious relation with God as we understood him. Afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach. That was growth. But if we wished to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. Spiritual experience, appendix 2, back of the book, says many are rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics. Such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often our friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life. That such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. So when they talk about these spiritual experiences that develop slowly over a period of time, the educational variety, I think it's worth pointing out that they're talking about these happening in a few months, not working the steps over a period of a year or a few years. But the slow, those slow people in AA can take a couple months to get through the steps, not a year. Don't see how that's helpful. That window of opportunity often closes when we take too long to work through the steps. We're taught in this program to seek the solution, vital spiritual experience, that comes about through working the steps to overcome the problem, with the desperation of drowning men. So we go at it with gusto, with momentum, with enthusiasm, and we go for it, and we get it. And when we are lax and taking our time, we tend to get thirsty. And when we get thirsty, we get drunk. And many don't make it back. So, God, as we understood him, is a small part of the process, but it's vital within this whole process. But to sum up the process, we have a circle, we've got a triangle, and we say, mind, body, spirit. AA adopted that, the three legacies, recovery, unity, service. So what we're talking about here is a part of recovery, one of the legacies. And that recovery is of the mind, the steps, spiritual awakening. And it's what I believe meetings should be about, experience, strength, and hope, about God and the steps, about the message. It should be about the solution, should be about the spiritual program of action. We are not group therapy. We're horrible at it. We'll never be good at it. It shouldn't be about that. We are not a self-help group. We are a spiritual help group. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. So what do we get if we work the steps? The vital spiritual experience. What do we become? We become recovered. What do we mean by recovered? Restored to sanity, soundness of mind, the obsession to drink alcohol has been removed. Recovered is mentioned 16 times in the big book. I don't think it was a mistake. We're not terminally recovering. The title page says, Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. When you get the argument from somebody who says, how can you say you're recovered? We're always recovering. I'll always be sick. I'll never be better. Roman numeral 13, big book. The main purpose of this book is to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered. So when they say that, say, let me show you the main purpose of the book. Page 29, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. Page 132, we have recovered and have been given the power to help others. So recovered, not cured. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. See, this is the one day at a time program. has nothing to do with not drinking one day at a time. It has to do with doing 10, 11, and 12 every day and staying connected every day. And if somebody is in the program and they're talking that they work steps 1, 2, and 3 every day, they're done. They're done because they need to be working 10, 11, and 12 every day. So if you got a daily inventory, daily prayer and meditation, daily service work, you'll find the three legacies will be covered. Recovery, unity, service. Definition of recovered, I think the best is the 10th Step Promises, page 84, 85, a portion of which says, "We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us." Then goes on and says, this is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So much for triggers and relapse prevention. It doesn't have anything to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. Triggers would be not working the steps. Relapse prevention is working the steps. Okay, boom. Takes care of a lot of treatment center lectures right there. So, recovery, unity, service. Unity, the fellowship, we bring it here. I couldn't get sober, but we seem to be able to. Social synergism. And service, the third side of the triangle, we are bound together along a spiritual path. Roman numeral 17 says strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. Page 89, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intense work with other alcoholics. So I need to practice these principles in all my affairs. We must be spiritual mentors, like Dr. Jung, Reverend Shoemaker, Dr. Silkworth, Roland Hazard, Ebby Thatcher, Bill Wilson, Dr. Bob, Dr. Talbot, me, Greg. We really dropped off right there. That's what we need to do. We need to keep an eye on the door looking for the newcomer. And we need to give them an accurate representation of what Alcoholics Anonymous is. All this fun stuff is great. It's wonderful. I support. It's wonderful. But if a newcomer doesn't get a big book, isn't shown what's in the book, offered to take them through the steps, it's sad. So, that's all I got. Thank you very much. Okay, part time.